Good morning, church. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 36. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be for those pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against its people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaking. At the time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great authority and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass until all things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of those of the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.
I'll invite Pastor John, and then I'll also pray for him. Lord, we thank you for your servant. We want to lift him before you this morning, that as he share your mind with us, Lord, will be blessed. Your words will be blessed through him. Give you all the praise. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Beatrice, and thank you to Dorsey for reading that so beautifully as well. It's an interesting part of Scripture we're looking at. And if you come here regularly, you'll know that I've been preaching through the Gospel of Luke under the title, Jesus is for Everyone. And today's message is actually going to be the last one in that series. And I look back and I realize that I've actually been in this series for more than 3 years. We've got so much out of the Gospel of Luke. It's not that I've been preaching every week on Luke or every time on Luke, but I've learned a tremendous amount. It's been a real blessing to me, and I know people have been blessed through really digging into the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the example of Jesus. The reason it's going to be the last one is that we're looking at the return of Christ and the judgment day today. But also, obviously, it's not the end of the Gospel of Luke, but I've actually covered a lot of the crucifixion stories and certainly the resurrection stories in the Easters when I've looked in Luke. So we will make this the last one, and I will announce fairly shortly, we will probably be looking at a little bit in the Old Testament to balance things out a little bit and seeing what God will say to us as a church through that when I start probably a new series in a couple of weeks' time. Last time I was preaching in March, again, you might have to apologize slightly for my voice. I've been struggling with hay fever this week. I think tree pollen I seem to be allergic to, and so it's gone to my throat and voice a little bit. But last time, actual fact, I was speaking about Luke was back in March, and we were looking at Jesus' prophecy and promises in times of turmoil and trouble, the first part of Luke 21, verses 5 to 19. This time, my title is Judgment is Coming, Be Ready, Watch and Pray. And this is from verses 20 to 36 that Dorsey read to us. Since I last spoke on the Gospel of Luke, we've had the 25th church anniversary, we've had Easter, but there's also been so much chaos going on in our world. Now, it's incredible, isn't it? Just what has happened since March. We've had Trump's tariffs, with the markets in turmoil, actually causing ripples throughout the world, affecting elections in Canada and then just this week in Australia. We've had worsening conflicts across the world, from Israel to Gaza, against Gaza, Russia, Ukraine, now India and Pakistan as well. And it's true that the world is in turmoil, isn't it? The world really is in true turmoil. And so today's verses are very relevant for our world and our lives as Christians at this time in 2025. And I want to say the key verse among all these dramatic verses that was just read to us is the last one, verse 36, where Jesus says, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Now, some of these verses in chapter 21 are about the future destruction of Jerusalem, and that took place in AD 70. Some of the verses are about the future return of Jesus, about the final judgment, about end times, about the end of the world. But Jesus' message in both situations was the same. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So verses 20 to 24 is all about judgment on Jerusalem. And hopefully we've got a... There we are, judgment on Jerusalem, verses 20 to 24. So Jesus warns his disciples, his followers, that their holy city, that their temple, their national identity, their place of security and safety is going to be completely, totally destroyed. Everything that the Jewish people hold dear will be destroyed. Judgment, Jesus says, is coming on Jerusalem. Why does Jesus say that? Why does he pronounce judgment on Jerusalem? Well, because they were rejecting God's Messiah. They were rejecting the promised one. They were rejecting God's Son. The whole of Scripture prophesies and promises that when we reject God, when we reject Jesus, when we reject God's messengers, judgment is guaranteed to follow, folks. That is throughout Scripture. If we choose to reject what God gives us and who God is, then God's word promises that judgment is guaranteed to follow. And nothing has changed right up to today. So if you or I reject God, if we reject Jesus, God's judgment is guaranteed. It would be nice to say it isn't like that, and lots of people pretend it isn't like that, but that's what Jesus says, and that's what the Bible teaches very clearly. That's why it is so important to get right with God. It's why it is so vitally important that we repent of our sin, that we believe and follow Jesus in our lives. You see, Jesus never plays mind games with us. This is reality. If you've not yet repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, the bad news is you are guaranteed to face the judgment of God. It doesn't matter if you've been brought up in a Christian family. It doesn't matter if you've been to church all your life, but if you've never repented of your sin and never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never bowed the knee to him, then judgment is guaranteed. And that's the bad news. But of course, there's wonderful good news that Jesus came to die upon the cross to pay the price and the punishment for our sin so that we can have eternal life. So if you are not a Christian, if you've never repented of your sin, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, you should be afraid of death. You should be afraid of Jesus coming back. Because the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Hebrews 10:31. Do you realize that? You know, we can so overemphasize almost God's love and that he'll be loving towards everyone, but that isn't the total message, is it? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. That's what God's word says, if we're not his child. So Jesus' core message when he was here on earth was, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And we find that same phrase being repeated in these verses. And what Jesus is saying when he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, is you are not going to live forever. And you know, he says that to us today. None of us is going to live forever. You might think that, you know, death and the end of your life is far away. We pray that it is. But the reality is none of us are going to live forever. One out of one dies. That's the bad news, folks. No, we're all going to face death. We're all going to face death. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is coming soon. So get right with God today because you may never have another opportunity. And it's so vital to do business with God because today is the day of salvation. If you leave it to tomorrow, if you leave it until later, tomorrow may be too late. I was brought up to go to church. And I remember as a young man, I didn't want to bow the knee to Jesus. I didn't want to live a Christian lifestyle. I thought, I'll have as much fun and get out there and do all the things I shouldn't do. And then I used to think, when I'm 65, I'm really old, then I'll have a bit of an insurance policy and I'll repent and everything else. But you can't guarantee you're going to get to 65. And the embarrassing thing is I'm 66 now, so I'm past it. It's had it, but praise God. God had other plans, and when I was 20 years old, I came to that point where I had to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and ask Jesus into my life. And I praise God, he changed my life completely. And the happiness and the fulfillment that I was seeking in everything else, I discovered actually was found only in Jesus Christ. He really is our Savior and our Lord. So today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. In these verses, in the face of God's coming judgment against Jerusalem, Jesus does a wonderful thing. He sets his disciples free. He says, you are free to leave Jerusalem. When you see these signs, get out of the city, flee to the mountains. And Jesus, in what he's saying here, is freeing them from Jewish nationalism. He's freeing them from Jewish loyalty. He's freeing them from a religious observance that would bind them to staying in Jerusalem, because this is the holy city. We've got to stay here. We've got to protect Jerusalem. He's saying, you know, you're free. Flee. Flee for your life. Save your lives. Flee out of the city. And what Jesus is saying here is Jesus' disciples were first and foremost Jesus people. They're first and foremost kingdom of God people. They are no longer defined by their Jewish heritage, their Jewish nationality, or their holy city. And that is an important message to us today. If you are a true Christian, if you've repented and believed in Jesus Christ, you are first and foremost a child of God. That's who you are. That is your identity. Your citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. is in the kingdom of God. Your primary loyalty is to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't be in bondage to a loyalty to nationalism, or a loyalty to your culture, or a loyalty to secular law, or a loyalty to politics, or a loyalty to religious heritage, or a denomination that you were brought up in, or loyalty to a holy building, or addictions, a loyalty to addictions, or loyalty to a football team, anything. Don't be controlled by those things. Don't be in bondage to some false loyalty, because your only loyalty is as a child of God. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. It is for freedom, the Bible tells us, that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And you know, as Christians, we can so easily actually become enslaved again to certain things and habits or political affiliations or whatever it may happen to be that have a control of our lives, and we're no longer free. But Jesus wants us to be free to be the child of God that he's called us to be. Be free in that. So if you can see God's judgment is coming on something, get out of it. Get away from it. Keep away from it. Focus on God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then secondly, in verses 25 to 28, Jesus is coming in power and glory. In these verses, Jesus is looking beyond the fall of Jerusalem to the end times. He's looking at the coming return of the Son of Man. Jesus is coming back. He's looking to the final judgment day. Everything, he says, will be shaken to the core. There will be signs and wonders in the universe. The sun, the moon, the stars will be behaving in unusual ways. The seas will be roaring and foaming and tossing. On earth, nations will be in turmoil. People will be overcome by fear and terror. These are promises of Jesus. Promises of Jesus are guaranteed to be fulfilled. Amen? So these are promises of Jesus. At that time, people on earth will see the Son of Man, Jesus that is, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And it sounds terrible. It sounds very scary. Everything we know and we trust on earth will be in total chaos and destruction. But Christians, children of God, shouldn't be overcome by fear and terror. Our response, Jesus says in these verses, to the return of Jesus should be totally different from unbelievers. Because we believe and follow Jesus. Our kingdom is not of this world, but of God's kingdom. So our response to these terrifying events should be different. And Jesus says here that in actual fact, his coming is great for Christians. Did you realize that? The return of Jesus Christ, Judgment Day, is actually great for Christians, true Christian believers. Verses 28 to 33, Jesus says to his disciples, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. What he's saying is, instead of fear and terror, stand up, lift up your heads, welcome Jesus' coming. Jesus' words speak of boldness and confidence. Instead of collapsing and fainting in fear and terror, Jesus is saying, stand up straight. Don't look down at your feet. Lift up your heads. Look positively. Look out. Watch. Lift up your heads. Look. Watch. Welcome your coming King. So why should we be standing, looking, watching, welcoming the coming King? Why? Because your redemption is near. That's beautiful. That is fantastic. What Jesus is saying there is your suffering is coming to an end, folks. When Jesus returns, your suffering is coming to an end. Your Redeemer is coming. And Jesus uses a legal term for someone who comes and pays the fine, comes and pays the punishment, comes and pays the debt we owe. He comes to redeem us, to save us. The picture, if you like, is of an old courtroom scene. And you've been suffering in prison for years. Now, maybe your life doesn't seem like prison. Maybe you're having a great time. But compared to paradise, we're in prison. It's not hard for those across the world who are suffering for being Christians. Now, those that we were praying for in the prayer meeting before this meeting, those who suffer for their faith, it's not hard for them to see that when Jesus comes back, their suffering is coming to an end. Suffering is coming to an end, folks. And so this old courtroom scene is you've been suffering in prison for years. You've been seemingly forgotten. You've lost your freedom. You're under condemnation. Then your trial begins. You're in the dock and you're just about to be condemned by the judge to death. But the judge himself comes down from the dock. He takes your place. He redeems you. He pays the price. He pays the punishment for your freedom. Praise God. That's the heart of the gospel. Praise God. Your redemption is near. You know, that is a day to celebrate. Your Redeemer has come to set you free. You are no longer condemned. More than that, you're no longer confined to the suffering of earthly life. So just try and bring this home and perhaps to bring it up to more up to date. A few years ago, there was a program on the telly. I think it may have been called, I'm not sure about this, I think it might have been called Coast Guard Rescue. Something like that. And there was a very dramatic, true story which they reenacted. And it was a lady in the UK who was walking on the mudflats at low tide. So the tide had gone out, she was at the seaside, she was walking on the mudflats, and inadvertently she'd wandered into a dangerous area of quicksand. And she began to sink in the sand, and she became completely stuck in the sand, and the tide was turning. The water was beginning to come back. She was alone. It was getting dark. And she tried shouting. She tried calling for help. But no one was around. Water was filling the hole. And she was facing certain death by drowning, because she just couldn't free herself. And praise God, someone heard her cries for help and alerted the Coast Guards. And her head was only just above the water. She was having to strain her neck to try and keep her head above the water so she didn't drown. But she could see the Coast Guard team coming. Her Savior, her Redeemer was coming. They were her only hope. No one else could save her. And so they were the most wonderful people she'd ever seen in her whole life. Because they were her only hope of being saved. And one of them came, they reached her, they went on board so that they didn't get sucked down into the mud as well. And one of them reached her, one supported her neck so that they could keep her head above the water while the others tried to dig her out of the hole that she was in. And it was touch and go. The tide was coming in, it was all very, very dramatic indeed. But praise God, they were able to set her free from the mud that was pulling her down, and her life was rescued and saved. And you know, when you see the signs of Jesus' return, when you see Jesus coming in power and glory, know that your Savior, your Redeemer, is coming to save and rescue you. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? just like that woman. You know, you are, I am, in a situation where without Jesus, we're going to be sucked down. We are going to die. We're going to face the judgment of God. When you see Jesus, your Redeemer, coming, your Redeemer is near. He's coming to set you free. He's coming to rescue you. He's coming to redeem you. That's the wonderful good news of Jesus. So don't fear the second coming of Jesus. Don't fear the return of Jesus Christ. Don't fear even the judgment day. Yes, everyone else may be afraid and terrified by everything we know, shaking and everything in turmoil. But if you've got faith in Jesus Christ, your Redeemer is coming for you. It's a day to celebrate. Praise God. He's coming to set you free from the shackles of sin and suffering and death and hell. Your redemption is near. And then he goes on, it doesn't finish with your redemption is near, because he says in verse 31, the kingdom of God is near. So Jesus tells this little mini parable about the fig tree and other trees coming into leaf and says, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is coming soon. The kingdom of God is imminent. And you know, the kingdom of God, whilst we may not fully understand it, is great news if you are a true Christian believer. The kingdom of God, why is it good news? Because the kingdom of God is God's kingdom where his rule and his reign is fully established. Where he is in control. Where his rule and reign is fully established. Where every promise of God is fully fulfilled. Praise God. Revelation 21 describes God's kingdom in its fullness. God's dwelling place will be among us. He will dwell with us. We will be his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Praise God. Praise God. No wonder Jesus says, don't be afraid, don't be terrified at my coming. It was a problem, wasn't it? Whenever Jesus appeared, even when he was in bodily form, whenever there was something, you know, miraculous that took place, they were never seen a ghost, or, they were scared. And Jesus, every time, had to say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And he says the same about his return. Don't be afraid. If you are a child of God, don't be afraid. Look forward to his coming. No wonder Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified at my coming. Stand up boldly. Lift up your heads, for your Redeemer is near. The battle is nearly over. The Christian life is a battle, isn't it? You know, it's not a playground, it's a battleground. It is a battle. And you know, the battle will be over. And the victory is guaranteed, praise God. But Jesus goes on to say, it matters how we live while we wait for the return of Jesus. It matters how we live while we're waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, Jesus is coming, be careful how you live, in verses 34 to 35. Jesus says, don't be blasé about the coming judgment. Don't live like an unbeliever. Be on your guard. Don't allow your hearts to be weighed down and depressed by the cares and the anxieties of this world. Just looking around. I seem to talk to a lot of Christians who are weighed down and depressed by the cares and the anxieties of this world. They do get us down, don't they? And let's be honest, let's be real. You say, oh no, I'm always a happy Christian. You know, I'm wonderful, you know. It's great. But the reality is sometimes we get weighed down, don't we? We get burdened, and there's so many stresses, particularly in modern life, you know. And Jesus says, be careful how you live. Don't live like an unbeliever. Be on your guard. Don't allow your hearts to be weighed down and depressed by the cares and anxieties of the world. And Jesus specifically mentions several things. Carousing. Well, we don't use that word very often, or debauchery, which is another translation. It's basically an emphasis. Don't weigh your hearts down by noisy, wild living that shuts God out. No noise. Some of us can't cope with quiet. And silence. It amazes me. You know, drive my car, I'm sure you're the same. And sometimes you've got your car, you've got all your windows up, and you can hear the music in the car next to you as though it was in your own car. And you know, some people are never happy. I sometimes go around and visit some of your homes, and you leave the television on all the time I'm there. And you know, you can't cope with anything being switched off and actually being quiet. Ah, you know, quiet. We've got to switch something on. We've got to put a device on. We've got to do something, you know, because we can't cope with quiet. You know, and we can get distracted by all the noisy stuff. All the noisy stuff going on. But, you know, we don't need that. Spend time with God. Listen to him. Say that to myself. Drunkenness and self-indulgence, Jesus highlights. Living to please yourself instead of God. Drunkenness being out of control, which is the opposite of self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So Jesus says, don't burden yourself. Don't get addicted to stuff to get you through life. Because it won't get you through life. It'll just make you more depressed. That's the crazy thing, isn't it? How many people try to drown their sorrows with alcohol? And sorrows just get bigger. And you spend more and more of your money on it. And if you wake up in the morning, you wake up with a headache. I've tried it before I was a Christian. I hastened to add. The anxieties of life, Jesus says. The worries and stresses of secular life. And I want to say that's probably the biggest challenge to UK Christians today, isn't it? You know, there is a mental health crisis affecting society, and it is affecting the church. It's affecting Christians as well. Many Christians are overwhelmed by fears, by anxieties, by worries, by stress. Familiar triggers can be finances or health or housing or families or marriages in meltdown, security and status in the UK, possessions, careers, education, 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 whatever it may happen to be, the anxieties of life. Now, Jesus doesn't want to live us to live constantly burdened down with anxieties and stress. He came to set us free from that. You know, Jesus is coming. You know, what you're stressed and anxious about will be nothing compared when, you know, the whole world is shaking and every nation is in turmoil and the sun isn't doing what it normally does and the moon isn't doing what it's normally doing and Jesus is coming. You know, the things we get stressed about is incredible, isn't it? How small they can be, but they seem so big to us in our minds and our hearts. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Just say that and sing that to yourself the next time you're struggling to get into sleep. Or you're waking up in the middle of the night and everything's whizzing around 120 miles an hour. Does anyone else have 120 mile an hour? Brain, you know, it's incredible, isn't it? I do. I try and drive at 120 miles an hour as well, but you know, it's amazing, you know, it's just incredible. All things can whiz around. Sometimes be still and know that I'm God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And then the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus says to you and me, be careful, be on your guard that your hearts are not weighed down and depressed with the pressure and stress of a worldly, secular life. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Don't get distracted and diverted by the trap. He uses the word trap of the world and all it offers you. It's going to be destroyed, folks. All the things that you worry about are going to be destroyed. Sorry, your home's going to be destroyed. Your car's going to be destroyed. And you might feel it's destroyed already, but, you know, washing machines aren't going to matter that much. Education, you know, whether you've got a degree, whether you've got a first-class honours, whether your children have had a successful career, not going to count for very much if they don't know Jesus. You know, the important thing is knowing Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus. And we get stressed and we get pressured by all these things. Instead of those temptations, instead of those diversions, instead of those distractions, be always, constantly on the watch, Jesus says. On the watch for all these temptations and diversions, and pray. So he says a number of things not to do. He says then watch and pray. What is prayer? It's talking to God. It's simply talking to God. You know, sometimes we talk to everybody else, don't we? Some of you are professional moaners. Did you know that? You're not happy unless you're moaning about something. You're moaning, complaining about something or another. And you moan to one another, and sometimes you moan to me, and sometimes you moan to Tricia, and sometimes you moan to other people. But you forget to moan to God. But you know, we can take all our cares, all our anxieties to him. What a friend we have in Jesus. Eh? All our griefs and sins to bear, all the rest of it, everything we can carry to God. In prayer. Why should we pray? Jesus says that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man, stand before Jesus. And I think I see an echo here. There's a reminder of Lot's wife. When God's judgment came on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament, God's judgment came upon those cities because of their wild living, because of their sin, because of their wickedness. And God gave Lot and his family the opportunity to escape. God gave Lot's wife the opportunity to escape. But the problem was her heart was still in the city, wasn't it? She just found it too difficult to leave her city lifestyle, to leave her friends. And she looked back. And God's judgment came upon her. Don't miss out on the coming kingdom reign of God. God's judgment is coming. Jesus promises it. Be careful. Don't hold on too tightly to the world, to sin, to selfishness, to pleasure, to leisure, to money, possessions, even family and friends. Don't be like Lot's wife. And miss out on all that Jesus has won for you through the cross and his resurrection. Watch and pray so that you may be able to stand before Jesus on that judgment day when he returns. And Jesus says in verse 28, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Many of us, I'm sure, in this room believe that Jesus is coming soon. We don't know. But one thing I can guarantee, his coming, his return is nearer than it was last year. But Jesus is coming soon. The question is, are you ready? Are you being careful? Are you keeping watch over yourself? Are you watching for the signs of his coming? Are you praying? Are you asking God to help you overcome the sins and temptations that we all face, praying that you will be able to stand before Jesus as a child of God and receive his redemption, to look forward for your Redeemer is coming? Jesus says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? And I'll ask the worship team to come forward and let me just pray. Father God, Lord, we thank and we praise you that, Lord, this world is not going to keep on going forever. Lord, we thank and we praise you that just as Jesus ascended into heaven, so you will return. Lord, you will return in righteousness and in judgment. Lord, may we be among those, Lord, who have repented of our sins, believed in Jesus Christ, been born again by your Spirit. Lord, help us not to be weighed down by the world and all the worries and troubles and stresses of this world. But Lord, help us to look up, to stand up, to look up, to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, because our Redeemer is near. Lord, we thank and we praise you. Lord, we worship you together. And Lord, we just commit our lives into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.